of the things that people balance out is their own clinical experience. And of course, now docs have had a lot more time to utilize Bev in non-small cell, you know, particularly dealing with the issue of hemoptysis and pulmonary hemorrhage and some of the other issues. How's that sort of playing out now in your practice now that things have sort of settled down and you kind of figured out how to do this?
I have a sense that people are, as you just said, much more comfortable with the drug, much more. They use it in non-small cell lung cancer. They use it in colorectal cancer. They use it in breast cancer now. So people are aware of the pulmonary hemorrhage issue, but it doesn't seem to be an impediment the way it was when ECOG 4599 was first presented. And you could tell some doctors wanted just to be distanced from bevacizumab. I don't sense that anymore.
And how has that actually played out? You know, we're trying to explore what kinds of patients are at higher risk for this. Did we learn anything more about that?
I don't think we have any new information on this issue.
What about this issue of cavitation, either before or during treatment?
So in the limited analysis that the 4599 authors were able to present at ASCO, there was a trend towards a higher rate of pulmonary hemorrhage for people with cavitation. But it wasn't statistically significant. We were dealing with very small numbers overall. I think there's a concern in that respect, but I don't know that we can say that people who go on this agent and develop cavitation within the tumor should not receive it anymore. I think other issues have happened with bevacizumab. For example, we now have, I think, pretty solid data that this drug can be used in patients with brain metastases after they receive definitive treatment for CNS metastases and are stable from a neurological standpoint. I find that a pretty significant step forward because we were excluding a good chunk of patients from bevacizumab. I think we will also gain some level of comfort with anticoagulation pretty soon. Avail was already different
right. In
that respect than 4599. So,
Could you review that in terms of Avail versus 4599?
So the main difference was people who had a thromboembolic phenomena within 6 months of enrollment still were not eligible for Avail. But if they developed one of these complications while on bevacizumab, they were allowed to continue with full anticoagulation. And these individuals did not have a significantly higher rate of pulmonary hemorrhage or bleeding complications. That's important. And I have already seen in my practice patients of mine and also patients that I have seen in second opinion that doctors did not stop the bevacizumab in the setting of a DVT, for example, or other thromboembolic disease.
What about arterial events?
In my practice, that would, to me, mean that I had to discontinue the drug. So I have not encountered that from other doctors.